Let me just state something here. Origin Investigations, Brant 187863. I'm here with Susan Park and Jeff. We're in Los Angeles County discussing the disappearance of Elaine Park. Ma'am, the conversation is being recorded.
What you're listening to is private investigator Jaden Brant's interview with Susan Park, the mother of Elaine Park, and her boyfriend Jeff, recorded when Jaden first began working with them. The date of this interview is February 22nd, 2017, 3.5 weeks after Elaine went missing, and a month before we first met with Susan. I'm including it as a bonus episode this week because you'll be in a better position to understand it after having heard the previous episodes, and it will also be vital for your understanding of episode 10 next week. So listen closely. I have shortened parts of this interview for brevity and redundancy. And in a few cases where further explanation is needed, I've summarized the contents.
Do you want to start off? I could have organized.
Do you want a synapse of what we know?
Yes. I mean, and I've reviewed the news stories. I've listened to your interviews, several of them. I have not spoken with Glendale PD the Sheriff's Department.
I don't want it right
at
now.
At this time. Mm-hmm. Let's run it from the beginning.
Okay, so Friday the 27th of January was the last time Susan and I saw her.
Correct. It was Thursday morning. Because you remember 3:30 in the morning, her gas, we saved her from the bridge.
That was Thursday night, I thought.
No, that was Thursday at 3:45 a.m.
Oh.
So on Thursday morning, right. We saw her at 10 o'clock. And when we saw her at 10 o'clock, you and I came in. She was sleeping in the living room with her little, you know, lingerie. And then she just ran off here hiding because she saw you.
My truck coming in.
Yeah. So. And then that was the last I've seen her.
So Thursday. So
what happened Thursday when you said you saved her on the, she had ran out of gas, or
Thursday
morning at 3:30 we got a call, woke us up, and she was stuck on the freeway. She said ran out of gas, but it was more to it than that. It was her battery also. So we went out and picked her up, heading a direction away from home. But now that I've done that route, I have a feeling she was running out of gas and needed to get over. And right there, the only place to get over is on the eastward transition to the 210 from the 118. So I think she got stuck there and then up there and stuck right in the middle of the fast lane. So we got her gas and got her jump started, got her home. And so then the next morning, we went back to my house and went back to bed. And then the next morning we came here, and as we pulled in the driveway with my truck, she dashed off into her bed, into the bedroom from the living room here. She could have been just watching TV or sleeping, I don't know. And I don't think either one of us saw her leave that day. It wasn't like till Monday. She said Elaine's been gone since Friday and hadn't heard from her. So, you know, she's gone off for a couple of two, 3 days at a time before and come back. So then come Monday, she made another comment. Susan did to, you know, she said, I had a bad feeling Saturday and I still haven't heard from her. So I said, call her friends, her girlfriends, closest friends. Why not if they've heard anything? Did that and nobody had heard anything from her. So that was a red flag for me. So we hired got Glendale Police Department out here and sat right this very moment or this very place and put in a missing persons report.
Patrol officer responded?
Yes.
Okay. And said she was 20 years old. There was really nothing, you know, you can just basically make a report. So in the meantime, come Wednesday or Thursday, during those passing days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Let me give you dates. Thursday is January 26th.
Correct.
Right. Okay, just to make sure. Okay, continue, please.
So she did some research on herself, by herself, and found out she had heard from one of the girlfriends that she might had been with the ex-boyfriend, and they broke up 2 weeks prior.
No. I'll pick up. You could pick up from certain area, but the facts and details. So, like on the 26th, that happened. So on Friday, the 27th, she asked me to quick pay her $20. So we have a little thing where I'm trying to discipline her monetary usage. So I gave her $20 quick paid. She says she'll pay me back because she's going to go visit her dad to get some spending money. Mm-hmm. And then I asked her, well, what time is it? Oh, she says, you know, at 6 o'clock, I'll pay you back. So then 7 o'clock comes, she doesn't reply back to the quick pay. So I text her at 7, why aren't you paying me quick pay, and no response. Then at 9 o'clock, Friday the 27th, she just texts me, give me until later tonight. That was the last time I heard from her. Then Friday night comes, nothing happens. And because she tends to go out on her own for a few days, I just thought she's hanging out.
Where does she usually go?
I don't know. No. She does. We have a close, not good relationship. She just closes the door. She doesn't want me to interfere with her life.
Okay.
So Saturday the 28th comes. At 10:41 a.m., I called her. The phone rang twice. Then it cut off. Mm-hmm. And then I text her 3 times to see what's going on, and then no response. And then ever since, the phone was off. So then my ex-husband, her dad, was informed of that. So he called her at 5 a.m. Tuesday morning, January 31st, 5 a.m. And he says that he rang 3 times and it got cut off, like declined. I don't know what it is, but then he called again 3 times. He called again 3 times. All those times, the phone rang 3 times, and it got declined 3 times. And I have a record of that.
Okay.
So that's just a phone issue thing. So then the 29th comes. That's on Sunday. No response from her whatsoever. The phones continue to be off. So now I'm concerned. I'm asking Jeff, maybe I should file a missing persons report. And then I have a really bad feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted the sheriffs in Briggs. He says, where do you live? That is secret Lindale jurisdiction. You need to report it with them.
Right.
And then I hung up and then I told him, should I do it? But then I was keep thinking. I looked in the room. Her bag is missing, her baby blue duffel bag, usually she takes that. That bag is missing, her makeup's gone, so I figure, oh, maybe she's gone away, you know?
Because
mm-hmm. she never tells me where she goes.
Right.
A few days or whatever. But then she always responds, calls me when she has to quick pay me $20. She always pays me back within that day or two. So after I hung up with the police, and then they asked me, how old is she? And I said, she's 20. And they said, well, it's not, she's an adult. We're not going to take it, you know, critical.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, well, that's kind of, you know, not good. And then on the 30th comes, and still everything remains the same on Monday. So I decided to call, you know, Glendale Police Department and ask them to come here. And Jeff was with me. Mm-hmm. At 3:45, they came here, sitting right there. Detective Daniel Lee, patrol dispatcher Daniel Lee, he took the report.
Okay.
Again, he says, it's a volunteer. We're going to take it as a volunteer. Well, what do I do next? He says, well, there's nothing you could do. She's an adult. You just have to wait.
Right.
And I'll just file the report. So that went on and on. And then days passed by. And then 31st comes. Nothing happens. Then I'm thinking like something is off, you know, so I wanted to do something with, you know, and then February 1st in the morning, I think, we visited the, we visited the Glendale Police Department and tried to find out what's going on. And actually on the 31st, I kept calling the Glendale and I'm saying, what can some, you know, can you do at least the air patrol? Can you at least search for, you know, she lives in Calabasas area. I mean, the boyfriend, okay, I have to go back. So on the 31st, I asked my ex-husband to send me her Verizon phone bills. So he emails it to me, and I have all that with me. I go through my, and it shows my last text with her on the 20th, 10:41 a.m. That was the last one. Before that, I see two numbers. One is, you know, from Miami. Mm. And I'm thinking, well, Miami, did she go to a road trip, you know? And then I contacted Sadie, and she said, oh, that is Div. And Div, well, his name is difficult to pronounce, so we call him Div. And he's originally from Miami, but he lives in Calabasas. So I call that number, and Div answers the phone, and I told him she's missing.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We left off before the break with Susan calling Divine. Susan continues.
So now I know that he lives in Calabasas. I know at that point that was the last time seen.
Right.
So I'm all panicking, and I asked Jeff, where's Calabasas? And it was like Mulholland Drive, it's cliffs and everywhere. So I wanted to get the address to, because the police will not patrol the area because, you know, they do it regularly every day in the ocean, Malibu area or Calabasas or whatever. So I got the, I called Div back and I said, as a mom, that was the last, so we called, because they don't do the patrol, we went to visit the Glendale Police Department. I don't know why we went there, but we were trying to get some information, and one of the detectives said, you know, that we cannot request CCTV. You could do it, but we cannot do it at this time because he's not a suspect.
Were we asking them to ping the phone at that time also?
I keep asking them even before that, and they said that the phone is dead, so they can't do it. They cannot ping the phone, and it's voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Div, and he said, I explained, that's the last image. I really want to see her footage, and I also want to retrack her footstep from point A to point B to see if she got driven off somewhere or over the cliff. Meanwhile, I'm imagining all these horrible thoughts about her being over the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see that, you know, retrace her.
Right.
And then so I wanted his address, and he's like, well, yeah, I'll give it to you. Can you text me? He goes, oh, I'll give it to you. Then time goes by, he doesn't do it. So I remind him, a friendly reminder, he doesn't respond back. Then again, I remind him, he doesn't respond back. So then I call him, and he goes, my mom's going to call you.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to do with this. My mom's going to call you. So the mom calls me, and as a mom to mom, I ask, you know, heartfelt story, and I said, I really want to see her last image. So she gives me the address.
Mm-hmm.
So from there on, him and I, we were tracing around, and you could go, you know, from that point on.
Okay, so we were on our way to go do that, and
you were on your way to go to their house.
Yes, to go
retrace
Mulholland. There's two ways to get there. So on the way down there, I got pulled over, and we ended up talking to a veteran cop who was with a rookie cop, highway patrol, and he ended up hearing our story of what we were doing. That's why I jumped out of the carpool lane. So I got pulled over. So he sent us to Lost Hills. He says, that's their jurisdiction. So stop there first and tell them what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So we did that. And then she told the story of what was happening and that we were going to go out and talk to the mother and son. And we did that and talked. So we had our conversation with them. Then we continued and followed Mulholland back and came back to the sheriff's station. In the meantime, one of the sheriffs that we were talking to went there and spoke to them too. So when we came back to the sheriff's station, They ended up, one of the girls there ended up pinging the phone.
No. No, I know, but before that happens, you have to explain about the mother and daughter. She was saying about going to the, why don't you go to Pacific Coast Highway?
I didn't give him the conversation. Oh. I was going to go back to that.
Oh, okay.
So they ended up pinging the phone, and we found the location of the
phone. We went back because one of the guys said, why don't you ask them to print out a flyer and put the flyer on their Glendale Police, the Lost Hills. That's what we went back to do that.
To give them their picture, right.
Yes, but you had to leave, remember?
Yes, okay. And then what I was saying later, mm-hmm. they pinged the phone.
Uh-huh.
Well, because I had to come back and do another appointment mm-hmm, for my mm-hmm. son. So I'll go back to the conversation.
Okay.
So we on our way to their house from the sheriff's station, we called them, and they were at Gelson's Market, and they said they will meet us there. So by the time we got there, they were kind of out in front of the community gate, kind of circling around, and then they started to go in, so we followed them, and they pulled into their driveway before their gate, and we parked. I got out of the car, and they kind of sat in there for a little while, and then they finally got out. We had a conversation. Within that conversation, the boy had said she had, they went to the movie. Well, just like she said before, she was a little loaded or on something, was not safe to drive, so they took an Uber to the movie, and then they came back home. They have all proof of that. And
well, I don't have it in front of me, but the police supposed to have it.
Yeah. And so then they went to bed. And then at some point, she got up in a frantic singing. His words were she was not acting normal at all, and he was trying to get her back in bed and calm down, blah, blah, blah. She didn't say nothing, just grabbed her stuff and pew, out the door. And I'll just include this in. The videotape from the house that they gave us shows her leaving at 6:05. And then
you're leaving out the part where she said
I'm to... I'm jumping
okay.
a little bit.
Well, why are we... Okay, go ahead.
I'm just adding all this right. in, sort of okay. having to backtrack to it. So the tape from the house shows her leaving at 6:05. In our conversation that we had that day, the boyfriend said that she came back for her keys, was looking for her keys. Okay, so we didn't ever saw that on tape. And then there's another tape from the community gate that shows her leaving. Well, the clock says 7:11, 7:14, but I think we found out just last night that they did not change the time code back. Okay. So now it's like 6:11, 6:14. So that kind of... killed a thought. So in our conversation, you know, after that was pretty much it. You know, he said she came back, got the keys, and then she left. Anything you want to add to that?
So the community gate one, we had two CD. One of them was a private one, and 6:01 to I'll give that to you, forward it to you. So at 6:05 when she leaves. Right through the guest house gate, that's when they cut off the film. But if you look at the first two files where Uber comes and picks them up and comes back at 1:11, you could see the Uber driving off from the camera. You could see them driving off through the community gate.
Mm-hmm.
But why not show that about Elaine? Why cut off at 6:05 a.m.?
And that was they voluntarily gave you the video.
They gave it to the detective, Krivec. Okay. And I kept asking, can I view it with you, please? Can I view it with you? And the mom says, yeah, sure, why, yeah. Well, if it's inconvenient, we could FaceTime it. You could just show it to me while you're seeing it. Okay, sure. Next day comes, 11:30, we're in the neighborhood, and she says, I already did it. We already got the footage. She left at 6:05. I gave it to the detective. Well, can I get a copy? She says, well, no, detective said he'll take care of it. He's going to give it to you.
Hmm.
So anyway, I got it, I viewed it, and so
you did get it from the detective.
Yes.
Okay.
So the 6:05 a.m., my emphasis is why cut it at 6:05? Why can't we see like Uber did, like driving off?
What did the detective say when you asked that question?
I didn't ask the detective that question because he just ruled him out so quickly.
Pretty soon. Pretty cold.
The conversation at this point concerns the security video of Elaine leaving Devine's house. One part revolves around the fact that the security video shows Elaine walking to her car, but it doesn't show her actually entering the car. And Susan expresses some concerns about this. We did ask the police about it, and officers who saw the video stated they saw with their own eyes Elaine entering the car and leaving the property, and that due to their own error, the video was captured incorrectly. The second part of the discussion is about the plate reader at the gate of Devine's community. It's time-stamped to show Elaine's car leaving the gate at 7:14 a.m. However, that time is incorrect. A camera from a neighbor's house right near the gate shows Elaine's car driving past at 6:06 and 58 seconds that morning. So presumably, she actually went through the gate not at 6:06 a.m., but at 6:07. We've posted that video on our social media accounts at LiveDieLAPod. The interview continues as Jeff mentions a conversation with Devine and his mother.
Now here's something interesting. Okay. The day we talked to the boy and the mother the first time, we told her, yeah, we're going to go and trace Mulholland because you can either, off the 101, take Mulholland up to their place, mm-hmm. or you can go all the way to Mulholland Canyon, Las Virgenes, and come back. So, and I told her that's what we're going to do. And she says, well, why don't you try Cold Canyon? And I'm like, Cold Canyon? What is that? Never heard of it. And I grew up in Agoura from 69 to 86. Okay. I never heard of that. My father actually told me he did actually ride his motorcycle on that road back long, many years ago, but I had never heard of it. So we were kind of wondering, why would she tell us to take that road that goes down to the beach?
As if she planned there.
As
that
if she
day.
Was trying to get us to go that direction or something.
Yeah, because we informed them all along to Div. I'd be like following up with him. We're on my way. We'll be there. Where are you? So I feel like they were the mother, because Div does not have a car. He got into a car accident, so he doesn't have a car anymore. So I'm thinking like,
how do you know that?
Oh, through her text on the laptop. I'm thinking like, wow, that's really good. What a timing. They were at a group. Gelson's Market, they said. So where's the receipt, Gelson's Market, that time when they came, right? So I want a receipt of that.
Who was at Gelson's Market?
The mother and the son.
That's what they're saying.
Some unsupported conjecture has been removed here. Jaden continues.
So, sorry, I'm just looking at that for a moment. All right, continue, sorry.
Yeah, so the car was pinged with the Lost Hills at 128-342 at p.m.
Okay.
Just letting
you
know.
What was it, 342?
Yeah, 342.
Okay. All right. And everything was in the car. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Do you have access to her online?
I have all her Twitter stuff. I have all her social media stuff, yes.
Okay, was she using an iPhone or was she using Android?
iPhone.
Do you have access to her iCloud?
Yes.
Okay.
But the phone is unlocked. I mean, locked. I cannot unlock it.
Do you have the phone?
Yeah. And
what is it? It's an iPhone what?
iPhone 7. And we found another phone. We're thinking that's her old phone, but I don't know. But it does not turn on.
Okay. But you have access to actually logging into iCloud.com. You can see her
text,
emails,
yeah.
Things like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
have there been any recent logins? No?
No. Okay.
Who's running the Find Elaine Park?
Oh, Rosemary, which is like,
who's
ever
that?
Since, she's my friend. I trust her very much.
Okay, just checking. If you want to go ahead, we can finish the narrative.
Okay.
And then that way we can just move on.
Okay, but are you able to do warrant search or to obtain the CCTV from January 28th to February 2nd to the private and community?
Under limited circumstances, yes, we can. But we're bound by the same restrictions. We have a little bit broader way of doing it because we can work in the civil court to
that's
obtain.
That's time consuming, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, that's just the way it is. Do I think that I can walk into a 76 station and get the footage? Yes. I mean,
that's,
you know, it's just the way you talk to them.
Unfortunately, by this point, the rest of the footage from the community where Devine lives was not saved. Generally, locations such as these only keep this footage from 24 hours to a month before it's recorded over. However, Jaden was able to get the footage from the 76 gas station, and we've gone through it. If Elaine drove to the Pacific Coast Highway from Devine's house, what she, or whoever was driving the car, would likely have done is made a U-turn at the intersection where the 76 gas station is. I've timed the drive to Devine's house to the spot where Elaine's car was found, and it's about 20 minutes. And at 6:26 a.m., 19 minutes after Elaine exits Devine's community gate, a car does make a U-turn at that exact spot. We've shown this clip to a video forensic expert, and they were neither able to confirm that this was Elaine's Honda Civic nor rule it out. I will also post this video online at our social media accounts in case anyone listening can identify the vehicle.
You know, I was telling her this last night. When you hear something bad, you latch on to that to try to make that the reason. Mm-hmm. You know, but I can tell you about some other things along this storyline here. So anyways, we left off at the car being found. So we were with her that night, and they did foot search on the beach. Search and rescue came out. They did that. There were helicopters in the sky showing in the ocean. And
who did the foot search? Volunteer or?
It was a volunteer search and rescue.
Yeah, different affiliate.
They're not out of Lost Hills, but they are affiliated.
I know the team,
So they did that. And nothing. And so they towed the car away that night.
I have the car here, by the way.
Was it the next day or 2 days after for the dogs?
2 days after, because it was raining the next day.
Right. And they said that that actually is more helpful after a rain. So I don't know.
For the bloodhound.
So I don't know what that means. But anyways, the bloodhounds came up with nothing. And they were on the beachside and up on the mountainside, up in trails, behind this RV resort that was there, and nothing. They took the dogs over to a house across the street from the food mart at Corral Canyon Road and PCH. There's about four or five homes over there. First one, they walked the dogs over to it, and nothing. They got nothing from the dogs. So, you know, if we eliminate this family and any of the things that are connected to them, now we're sitting here with a disappearance, poof.
But that seems like what was the deal with Devine, and then we'll move on to something else. I mean, was he the current boyfriend, the ex boyfriend?
Okay.
What's the deal?
Ex boyfriend. They stopped 2 weeks prior to this date.
How did was their relationship? Was
this is the statement from? Like I said, she doesn't share anything with me, so I ended up asking her best friends.
So these are the responses.
Yeah. So if you want me to summarize it for you.
I mean, I want to read them completely, but if you want to summarize.
Yeah, so I need that note to summarize. I'll give you all this to you.
Yeah.
So, November 4th, 2016, at a mutual house, they met it at a studio apartment in a friend and a friend's house. And then Devine approached her, asked for her Instagram account. Then they next day, he contacted her that there's a complex ticket in Long Beach to go see. So November 6th, 2016 was the official time they met. And then in January, they were intensively involved. She would stay at his house 2-3 days consecutively. They were like kind of tight.
They go on to discuss Elaine breaking up with Devine in the beginning of January because she felt he didn't have a lot of direction and she wanted to start getting her life together.
He indicated that she woke up around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what was his account between 4 and 6:05?
Was it?
He might have just kind of blotted out, you know. He might have
said 4.
Yeah, he said 4, but it was 6:05 when she left. But
right.
Oh, okay.
He might have just kind of said it without thinking, like, 4 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, there is a 2-hour gap.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of get that sense. And the gate footage, that's not a manned gate. I mean, I looked at it online. It's just a gate. There's not a security guard.
No, it's a manned gate.
That's correct.
What?
There's a security guard posted or not?
Unmanned.
Okay. Unmanned.
Did they search the house, Devine's house?
Guest house, just briefly, nothing else. No hound dog, nothing. Just went there looking for any female female items left over or whatever, and the cop just came out and said, there's nothing there. You know, we don't have any reason to believe that there's a woman, trace of Elaine.
But they didn't search the main house?
No. No, nor the dog.
And, all right.
So going back, I have to throw a couple of And it could be way off track, but along the way, we've dug this stuff up.
Okay.
After, you know, so once, after that, there's really not much. She's been just digging and digging and digging with this Rosemary woman, who's a wonderful woman. They've gotten a GoFundMe thing going. They've got lots of things being shared on Facebook. She's done television interviews. There was one at 11 o'clock last night on Channel 7. I have it recorded.
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, you saw it? Okay.
They did it again this morning?
I watched it online.
Oh, right, online. Right.
Also... Oh, they also have now just set up the reward. I'm sure you've seen that. So, you know, these two, I'm extremely proud of what these two girls have been doing on their own.
Yeah, you guys have clearly been, you know, doing stuff. So the questions I have beyond looking at, you know, so let's set Divine aside for a second here.
You know what? I'm sorry. One thing needs to be said about some of the things she said to you.
Who?
Elaine.
What? Like what?
You have to like tell how me. She was going to make you suffer.
Oh, she said before the disappearance. So it would be 2 months ago. She would say. We get into an argument a lot. Not argument even. We ignore each other, and every once in a while we have confrontations, and she closes her door, whatever. But she has problem with cleaning the kitchen, and she's really a messy girl. So whenever I give her a hard time about it, she says, she gets really mad. So at one point, she says, I feel like hurting myself. Mm-hmm. You make me want to hurt myself. Those are the exact words. So that's what makes me feel guilty as of today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she also said that what? She's going to make you suffer.
No, that was my thought.
Oh.
That was my thought. I said, she's making okay. me, she's so making, she's, okay. you know, making me suffer.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, don't, you, I'm sure everybody's told you, you know, all kids, you know,
yes.
don't like their parents. I tell my son all the time, when you have a kid, you come back to me and say, oh, now I understand why you
right.
did everything you did. So, you know, they're all like that. But all right. So, yeah, setting him aside, and it kind of comes to the point that we're talking about here. I mean, I discussed this at briefing with our other investigators this morning. I mean, aside from Divine, and I'll tell you a couple of the thoughts that we have. But what do you think happened? I mean, you know her better than anybody.
Besides Divine? Well,
presumably. Let's set Divine aside.
Well, I'll just quickly scenario Divine. She may have overdosed because on her laptop has something about having coke or something. So she may have overdosed. That's one scenario. Second thing is because she said, I feel she wasn't happy at my house. We just didn't have a good relationship. She did have some kind of a long time ago, like 3 years ago maybe, she would say she want to commit suicide. So all these things gather my thoughts. I thought it might be suicide, but they can't find the body. I still kind of feel in a way that she committed suicide and they just can't find the body in that spot. Third thing is, because all the evidence and can't find the body and all, you know, cash there, everything there, and she had a problem with her car battery. It often dies. Alternation, I don't know what it is. But so maybe her car battery died and she was flagging. She's very freely go ask strangers to help her jump her car. So maybe she, you know, asked to jump the car and then they took advantage of her and abducted her, two guys or whatever. But there's no struggle inside the car whatsoever, or they can't find the scent of her surrounding the car. So that's one thing.
That sort of leaves a little bit of credence that they can't find any
nothing
sense surrounding,
yeah.
you know, that's possible.
And then the third thing is kidnapping and adoption and sex trafficking. I know.
We got to advance every theory so that we can think about you know, what's going on. And that's, too, you know, what the police department is thinking. You know, they're looking at all these theories, and they can't tie one to a possible homicide. And if they can't, then they're not going to investigate it, you know, because suicide, they don't investigate it. You know, they just don't. So, all right, so we'll just continue the recording for now. The time is 1:32 p.m.
The interview comes to an end at this point. I've tried to preserve it in its integrity to allow you to hear the first recorded account that began the non-police portion of the investigation into Elaine's disappearance. We've shared this with permission of Jaden Brandt and Origin Investigations. I hope it's been able to provide more context and insight for those who've been asking. And please don't forget to contact us if you have anything at all to report about Elaine Park. The smallest tip could make the biggest difference. Our email is livediela@tenderfoot.tv, or you can call us at 213-204-2073. In addition, if you have questions that you'd like answered on this podcast, please leave us a voicemail at that same number, 213-204-2073.
The Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus, from Liz Merriweather, the Emmy-nominated executive producer of Dying for Sex and The Dropout, comes a gripping psychological thriller. Starring Emmy Rossum as Alice Black, Furious follows a rookie FBI agent on the hunt for Catherine, played by Lola Pettigrew, a mysterious and calculating female serial killer. While Alice upholds justice, Catherine kills for it, terrorizing the rich and powerful men of New York in her pursuit of vengeance. As their twisted game of cat and mouse unfolds, the lines between good and evil begin to blur, with shocking crimes, tangled relationships, and secrets that change everything. Alice discovers there's a thin line between hunter and prey. Watch the Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus for bundle subscribers. Terms apply.